Vegas. Food, fun, fast action.
Live from Sin City, Las Vegas, Nevada.
This is Las Vegas,
the gambling capital of the world.
Las Vegas, the playground of the world.
It's the Sports Show with Kevin Powell.
I'm okay with the deal. The clock is ticking. Poles wanted to do right by Justin, and I think he did with his move.
And Joe Brand.
That features a lot of good offensive talent, which is a good thing.
It's the Sports Show.
And now, ladies and gentlemen,
here's KP and Joe. KP
and Joe. And we are underway.
We are live from Circa Resort and Casino. Here in downtown Las Vegas, Kevin Powell alongside Joe Brand with you for the next couple of hours. A special sports show for 2 hours. A very difficult gig for Joe and myself tonight. We are poolside at Stadium Swim at Circa Resort. And if you haven't seen pictures or heard about Stadium Swim, it is essentially a giant video board, and it has all the sports you could possibly want. Yesterday was all Masters coverage. Everybody was in their green here at Circa. And, you know, we've got hockey on the air, we've got baseball games, and then there's just a whole bunch of pools and cabanas, which is where we're hanging out. It is a lot of fun here at Circa, Joe.
Yeah, they are not looking live, but we are looking live at probably the most fantastic sports setting you could possibly imagine. There's constant games, like you just said. I mean, how can I get this in my house? Yep. How can I get this in my garage, in my backyard? This is what I want. I want to watch every single game at the same time in a pool and a hot tub and be delivered drinks, yep, and be very comfortable and have the sunshine. Is that too much to ask for?
No, I don't think so. We've got a great crew here. A few of our sales members are here. We've got Bill Murdoch, our lead engineer here. It just happened to be when we were out here. Of course, the Blackhawks in Vegas. We will be at the game tomorrow night. I'll be in the stands. You'll be working tomorrow night.
Yeah, yeah.
And Troy Murray is going to join us. We have a lot of Bears talk coming up. The draft is just a little over a week away. A lot of excitement for the Bears this offseason. We're all pretty much set on what they're going to do with that top overall pick. But we're going to kind of have some fun with it, look at some odds. Circa has a whole bunch of stuff, betting lines that you can actually bet on the draft. So we'll get into the Bears. We'll get into some Blackhawks stuff, which I know we've been talking about for a few days, Joe, but very exciting news. 3 more years, Blackhawks and WGN Radio. Every Hawks game you will be able to hear on the station. You will be handling pre, intermission, and post. And the great John Weideman and Troy Murray on the call. Troy's going to join us in about an hour and a half here on WGN.
Yeah, I don't mean to make this about me, but we are infiltrating.
You can make it about you. And by the way, I'm glad you made it here.
I am too.
We flew out yesterday, and I'm looking at what's going on at O'Hare earlier with the protests and people missing their flights. You heard Jared Payton in the news, and I'm like, man, I haven't heard from Joe. I hope he made his flight.
It's funny because as we're descending, obviously your phone starts to buzz because you're finally getting reacquainted to the earth and everyone's texts are coming through, but I'm getting a text from you and from some of my friends and my wife, you know, did you make it? I'm like, yeah. What is going on? What did I miss? And then I checked Twitter and oh my goodness, but yeah, got here okay. Steve Godsell on the same flight. We got, like you said, a bunch of salespeople here. And
I cut you off. You were making something about
something
yourself.
About me, of course, yeah. Yes, because we are infiltrating on Blackhawks live territory right now. But but for good reason, as exciting as it is for the Hawks and WGN right now, and just where the Hawks are right now, pulling up Frank Nazar, a lot of excitement about him yesterday to talk about. This is one of the best times in the sports world. I know March Madness is over. I know the Masters are over. But still, hockey playoffs beginning, NBA playoffs beginning, baseball starting to get into full swing, no pun intended, and the draft right around the corner. So it's a very good time for the Hawks to play the Vegas Golden Knights here in Sin City.
Chicago baseball news today. Eloy Jimenez back for the White Sox. Seiya Suzuki placed on the IL for the Cubs.
Yeah, that's a bummer. I mean, what a start by Seiya. And that's not what you want to see when this team... I mean, they're thriving on the offense right now. That lineup is lethal, and they're fun, and they are exciting, and they never feel like they're out of it.
It is a deep lineup that I really liked, especially when Bellinger re-upped with the Cubs.
Yeah.
That lengthens the lineup, and it's an athletic lineup. It has power. They have speed. Horner can run. Dansby can run. Christopher Morel has been... You know, he's no sure bet defensively yet, but he's been a total spark at the plate.
And they're just like a fun group. Like, they really like playing with each other. There's definitely a buzz amongst them. There's some chemistry with them. And I know everyone likes to bring up how they've got 2015 vibes, but I think the most important thing is they're really hungry from last year. I mean, they just missed out, and when the front office went and got Craig Counsell, it's okay, yeah, we're really going for this right now.
And they have established a core.
Yes.
Which I think championship teams all have a good core, right? You have leaders in the clubhouse. You have good players, of course. They have that. Cody Bellinger, even you hear his teammates talk about him and the way they talk about him and the way he preps and goes about his business.
Even when he wasn't on the team.
Even when he wasn't on the team, right. And they were, you know, they were celebrating when he did re-up with the Cubs. I like the Cubs, and I picked them to win the division. We will see how it plays out. The DJ here at Stadium Swim is wearing a White Sox hat. So even when they're terrible.
Wait, really? I didn't see that.
Yeah, in front of the pool area. I mean,
it is an iconic hat and logo and color scheme.
We are way back here in our cabana, Joe.
It's so really rough back here.
If you look across the pools.
Across the four pools.
The four pools, a couple hot tubs, the bar.
I see it by the margarita machine.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, there it is.
Even when the White Sox are terrible, the logo remains fashionable.
It is. I don't think that'll ever die, though.
That's something they got going for them.
You know what? What I always say is, when you go out of town and you see someone walking with a Cubs hat, oh, that person's from Chicago. But then when you see someone walking with a White Sox hat,
you don't know.
That person's from the south side of Chicago. Or they are very famous.
They're very famous, yeah. They're just not from Chicago at all. So baseball talk coming up. A lot of Bears talk. And Blackhawks, too. You mentioned last night the goal, and they didn't win, but they're, I know, and rightfully so, we continue to talk about Connor Bedard. There are a whole bunch of guys that, if you're a Hawks fan, do some insight, right? Look into them, because they are loaded with prospects, and more are coming with the draft, which is going to be here in Las Vegas this summer.
And this guy that came up last night in Frank Nazar is definitely one of them, and one of the more exciting ones. A lot of people are saying he's got Andrew Shaw vibes, just a spark plug, ton of energy, ton of speed, and he showed that last night. I think a couple things are also working in his favor. His collegiate season just ended. He's riding high of signing his NHL contract, getting his NHL debut, but hey, he stood up to the challenge and he performed, and he was one of the fastest guys out there. And I do think that it helps not make it all about Connor Bedard. It makes it about the overall youth of this team. And it's kind of a nice, cool little cliffhanger that the Hawks did for their fans in the last home game of the year. Like,
and give him a taste.
Yes, yeah, and a carrot. You know, like, hey, you deserve this. You earn this.
So
and
good.
This is what you could have a lot more of next year if you keep playing this way.
Coming up on the show, Tim Murray works for VEASAN, which is based here in Las Vegas. And they actually have their studio here at Circa, which is very cool, next to their massive sports book in the actual casino. They have a studio there where they shows all day long. So Tim's going to join us. Sean King, who is a former NFL quarterback, knows the position well, based here in Las Vegas, is going to join us. And Sean is not a Caleb believer. And we are going to hear more about that coming up just after 7:30. We will talk to Sean King. Next, though, here on WGN, Aaron Oster, sports marketing manager at Circa, will join us on 720 WGN.
Remember, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
It's the sports show.
What you need is a weekend in Las Vegas.
Here's KP and Joe.
We are live from Las Vegas up until 9 o'clock. Kevin Powell alongside Joe Brand. We're at Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas, Fremont Street. We are having a good time in a cabana, poolside, a very difficult gig for Joe Brand and myself tonight as we hang with you. We've got Bears talk coming up. Some more Blackhawks talk as well. And we are joined now, Aaron Oster, sports marketing manager here at Circa. You have a very fun job, Aaron, don't you?
It's definitely not a bad job coming from radio, coming over here. This reminds me, I never really got to do a remote quite like this one out in the cabana by Stadium Swim. It's a delight, and so glad to have you guys out here.
And you've worked in media your whole career.
Yeah, before this, was in sports radio for over a decade out in D.C., nationally on NBC Sports Radio, and in minor league baseball before that, where I got to go to fun places like Duluth, Minnesota, and Lancaster,
beautiful.
Pennsylvania. Slightly different vibe in Las Vegas.
Explain what your gig is, because we've got a whole bunch of NFL draft props. The draft just a little over a week away. We all know who the Bears are going to select number one, but you can have a lot of fun with it, like the position of the Bears' second draft pick. Will it be a receiver? That's the betting favorite. How about an edge rusher? How about an offensive lineman? You guys continue to get creative with prop bets and different odds, because it's not just, the Bears are going to draft Caleb number one. You can get in on all kinds of different stuff, including, will the Bears draft a player from an Illinois school?
Yeah, you gotta love our odds makers here. We have legitimately the best odds makers in the business here at Circus Sports. And they've been thinking about this for a while. What to do for the draft, what markets to set, how to make it more fun for our friends at Circus Sports Illinois. And they've come up with some of these. I'm actually surprised to see some of these. And it says a lot about what we're thinking about how this draft is going to go. Everyone talking about Adunze to the Bears. If you look at it, you can see Adunze's over-under is at 8.5 with the juice to the under. They think Adunze is going to go before the Bears going. And Turner, the edge from Alabama, everyone thinks that he might go in the top eight. The line's 9.5, juice to the over. So a lot of interesting aspects of this. And of course, as you said, wide receiver is the odds-on favorite for the Bears for the second pick. If Adunze's not there, what are the Bears going to do?
What are they going to do? And, you know, there are so many options for the Bears. The addition of Keenan Allen, of course, with that trade really opened things up for them where they're not desperate where they need to add a receiver opposite of DJ Moore. They can add a Dallas Turner, the edge rusher you just mentioned from Alabama, maybe the most hyped defensive prospect going into this draft. I think receiver, edge rusher, offensive line, if there's a tackle on Ryan Poles, that's his specialty. He's an offensive lineman himself. How does he feel about Braxton Jones, the left tackle? Is he the long-term solution at left tackle? Or with two top 10 picks, a rookie quarterback coming in, do you invest heavily into the offense, maybe add another lineman or a receiver? So I think there's a lot of intrigue, not so much in that first pick for the Bears, but I think everybody's wondering how that top eight is going to fall, that those seven picks after number one. And I could see the Bears moving up, I could see them staying at nine, and I could even see them moving down.
That's why I love this this bet on the second, what their second pick is. It doesn't matter where they draft. They can trade up, trade back, stay at nine. You're betting on wherever they end up drafting. And where they end up drafting could be fascinating. I think that if Adunze is on the board, you take Adunze. He would be the top wide receiver in any.
He's out of Washington, and Marvin Harrison, the top receiver from Ohio State, he's likely to go number one. Malik Nabers from LSU, yep. Two. And then likely Adunze, who I think is moving up just about everybody's board. Yep. You saw him in postseason play with Washington. They had a great season. He's a guy that I think has really proved. He's done a lot for his stock over the past 6 months or so.
Absolutely. I think he, legitimately, in most other drafts, he'd be the number one receiver off the board. And because of that, it's hard to say, pass on a guy like that. I think the most interesting guy in the draft, and one you haven't mentioned yet, for the Bears, if they have to stay at nine, if it plays out, Adunze's not there, they don't have the right offer.
Brock Bowers?
Nine. Brock Bowers is fascinating.
I knew you were
going to
go there.
Because it's
a tight end out of Georgia, huge numbers with the Bulldogs, and I think one of the more hyped tight end prospects in a while.
Yeah, I mean, he could go, and he's going to be a real linchpin of this draft. We have him at Circus Sports here at 11.5, the over-under, just a little bit to the over. But
when you say the juice over to the, explain that for people who have no idea what we're talking about with the odds.
Yeah, so juice is basically which side is favored.
Gotcha.
Right now, so Brock Bowers, he said 11.5. So you're betting whether he will go before or after 11.5. The under in this case saying he'll go before that. The under is plus 155, meaning basically you bet $100, you win, you get $155 plus that $100 back. It's minus 195 on the over. You bet $195 to win $100. So simply put, that's what it is. I could see him going anywhere from 9 to 18 in the draft, and it's going to change so much depending on where he goes, and that's going to change so many things.
We are talking to Aaron Oster, the sports marketing manager here at Circus Sports. Do you have a hockey question for Aaron, Joe?
No, just kind of more of a general question, because it seems like you're following this landscape so intently and for so long. How much have you seen it evolve over the years? Because, our listenership might not be avid bettors and kind of constantly looking at these lines, but what's something about the sports betting landscape that the general population might not know?
You know, it really has been fascinating. Obviously, for the longest time, it was just in Vegas. You couldn't get it outside of it. And slowly, state by state, it opened, and more sports books came into town. And the funny thing it is a lot of them had that same model, the FanDuel, DraftKings model and everything. Circa is completely different from these other models that you might see everywhere. They're more of an old school model, and they are better for the better. You look at some of these lines, just pulling up the NHL lines right now. I was talking about that juice earlier that not a lot of people necessarily understand. juice is the biggest thing that changes from book to book. A lot of times the odds you're going to see are exactly the same everywhere. What changes from book to book is juice. And right now in the NHL, pull up this Islanders-Devils game, for instance, I'm looking at right here. Islanders favored to win this game on the money line. They're minus 116. The Devils are plus 106. That gives a split of minus 105 both ways. If it was a straight, even minus 105. That's not normal in the betting world. Usually you will see a minus 110 split, which basically means you're betting 110, as I mentioned before, to get a $100 bet. Or you might see more and more. Circa Sports believes in catering to the better. We don't limit bettors. Limiting is a process where if you start winning too much, all of a sudden you can't get as much money down.
I have that problem all the time.
I understand. You look like absolutely someone who books would limit. We welcome you here at
yes,
Circus
sure
Sports.
You do.
And we want the bettors to do well. We want them to bet into us. We want them to bet as much as they can in with us. We want to know what people are thinking. And that's something that I think you're going to see more and more of as it progresses, as things get bigger. But just fascinating to see more books come in, some books go out, other books come in, just kind of the different models from state to state, and really the models from state to state changes based on the state because so many different states have different rules.
Aaron Oster, we appreciate the hospitality. We are having a great time here at Circa. The stadium swim is a ton of fun, and again, a very tough gig for Joe and I here in a cabana poolside talking sports with you. We really appreciate the time, Aaron.
Hey, so glad to have you guys out here and look forward to partying with you for the next few days.
Absolutely. That's Aaron Oster, sports marketing manager here at Circa Sports. Joe Brand and myself, Kevin Powell, are with you up until 9 o'clock. We are going to talk to someone next who is not a Caleb Williams believer. He does not think the Bears should take Caleb Williams number one. We'll let him explain coming up in just a minute here. We will talk with Troy Murray, who's out here in Las Vegas. Is he coming to the pool, Joe? Is he at the
We're going to try to entice him. I don't know if he's going to make his way over here.
Send him some pictures of Stadium Swim. I think that might...
I've sent him a lot.
Okay, well, maybe we'll get Troy here. If not, we will be talking Bears next here on 720 WGN. It's time for the news on WGN.
Holy Las Vegas, where are we?
This is Las Vegas.
Welcome to Vegas.
Las Vegas.
It's the sports show. Here's KP and Joe.
We are live from Las Vegas at Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Vegas. Kevin Powell alongside Joe Brand. We are currently in a cabana poolside at Stadium Swim at Circa, which is a giant video board. It's got all the betting lines on each side of the board and all of the sports you could possibly consume while you sit in a pool or a cabana. It is amazing.
It's pretty futuristic. I mean, imagine going like 20 years ago and showing someone this image
right.
And trying to explain it to them.
They have pulled it off here at Circa. Joining us now on WGN is Sean King, former NFL quarterback and based here in Las Vegas. Sean, we appreciate you jumping on with us.
Hey, thanks for having me. What a beautiful day, man. Vegas is awesome this time of year.
It is absolutely perfect. I know they've got good weather back in Chicago today, but it's about upper 70s. The sun is shining. We are enjoying our time here at Circa. Sean, we are just a little over a week away from the NFL draft. The conversation in Chicago for months, even before the season was over, was about the quarterback. Is Justin the guy? Or circumstances going to lead the Bears to selecting Caleb Williams or another quarterback, number one. And all signs point to the Bears drafting Caleb Williams, number one. Tell me why they shouldn't draft Caleb Williams, number one, Sean.
Well, I think that ship has already sailed in a lot of ways. I think if I ran the Bears, I would have kept Justin Fields because of the collateral I think you could attain by trading the number one pick. But they've made their decision. I think when you look at it from a positive vantage point, at least they learn from their mistakes. Because what they're doing to make the Caleb Williams era in Chicago successful, they never did for Justin Fields. And in a lot of ways, never did for Mitch Trubisky. I mean, going out, they traded for DJ Moore last year, but this year they added Keenan Allen. They brought in DeAndre Swift. They solidified the interior of the offensive line from free agency. So they added a lot of pieces around the young quarterback. So if Caleb is ready to make the transition from college to the pros, then he has a much better situation to be successful in than the last two quarterbacks that they are selected in the first round.
I'm completely with you there, Sean. I mean, you look at definitely Justin's case. That was another quarterback situation the Bears organization completely failed on. And Justin was drafted by a GM and coached by a coach in his rookie year. We knew that coach and that GM, the chances of them being around in Chicago with the Bears for another season was unlikely. So after year one, he's got to learn a new system. He has a new coach. And then it's kind of rebuild mode because they have a new front office. Justin, without a doubt, was put into a very difficult situation. And like you said, I don't know if there's ever been a better situation for a quarterback than Caleb Williams. You know, I mean, I'm serious, though. Like, think about what he has around him. It's a team that feels like it is ascending. They won 7 games last year, probably could have been more than that. And he's got a lot of weapons around him. And, you know, on top of that, they have the 9th pick. They could add another receiver to work with Caleb Williams. So I feel really good about what Ryan Poles is doing to help a young quarterback, especially if it is Caleb Williams' number one.
Absolutely. And that kind of brings me to the one aspect of selecting Caleb Williams that kind of I'm unsure about, and that's how does he handle failure? Because everything we just talked about, the difference now between when Fields was drafted and when Caleb's drafted is expectations. When Justin was drafted, the Bears fan base just wanted to see potential. They wanted to see the organization moving in the right direction to being like a playoff caliber team. Caleb's getting drafted into a situation where this fan base really thinks once they get their quarterback, they're a playoff caliber team. And that division has gotten a lot tougher. I mean, you look at Green Bay and their young collection of talent. You look at Detroit, the success they've had. If Minnesota can figure out quarterback, you know, they have a trio of weapons there on offense. So it's not as easy of a pathway as it was a couple years ago. But what happens to Caleb when he doesn't play well and he's criticized and he has to answer the tough questions and he's not kind of sheltered in this bubble? I hope he handles it well. I want all these guys to succeed. I have some question marks about some of those intangibles. I don't question the talent, but I do question how smooth the transition is going to be, and how does he handle the bumps in the road?
Well, that leads me to my next question for you, Sean, because, look, no quarterback is ever a slam dunk, right? Like, you know it, Sean, better than we do, but, like, we've seen it. It is an extremely difficult position. It's the most important position. It is very tough for rookies to come in and be immediately successful. Yes, I know there have been recent examples. C.J. Stroud is one. And maybe Caleb can replicate that kind of performance and talent and those numbers. But it is very hard. It is by far a slam dunk with any quarterback. I feel optimistic about the direction of the Bears. I feel optimistic about Caleb Williams. What are your biggest concerns when it comes to Caleb Williams, his game, his personality translating into an NFL quarterback?
Well, I just don't ever think he's really had to have the target placed on him week in and week out. I feel like in Oklahoma, all the target was on Spencer Rattler. You know, Spencer Rattler was projected to be the number one pick in the draft when he was eligible. And, you know, he was a top player in high school. He kind of was the guy, Spencer, wasn't really feeling his vibe. He ain't playing that consistent, so we're going to go to Caleb. And SC, for whatever reason, SC is just not really a national brand as far as legitimate coverage and like, when you think about who's going to win the national championship in college football, the Trojan brand for the last decade, they just don't come up. So it's not as much pressure. This is a lot of pressure he's walking into. And, I wanted to make a point about the C.J. Stroud thing. We're about a week and a half out. This time last year, all anybody was talking about was that C.J. Stroud scored bad on the S2 test, and he skipped the Manning passing camp in Louisiana. That's all anybody was talking about. He shouldn't be the number two pick. People had Will Levis going in front of him. They said Bryce Young was going to change the Carolina Panthers franchise. Fast forward to a year later, people calling Bryce Young a bust. C.J. Stroud's the greatest rookie quarterback in the history of National Football League. So these narratives, they don't always like stay on the same truth platform, I call it. Because the same people who were saying C.J. is not going to transition because of some S2 test that I've never heard of, that has nothing to do with throwing the football and getting hit and running and tackling on the Sunday, he wasn't going to be good. And Bryce's expectations were ridiculous because he's not surrounded by any kind of assistance there in Carolina. So what happens to Caleb when the narrative changes? When it goes from he's the next Patrick Mahomes to he's Josh Allen in early in his career, where he's turning the ball over, he's making mistakes. How does he handle that? It's going to be interesting to watch.
All right, well, Sean, I'm sorry. I'm going to play a little devil's advocate here because I'm curious now, what was your perspective of Justin Fields handling any sort of adversity, whether or not it was his fault? Because, I mean, Bears fans loved him here, and a lot of them didn't want to see him go. But at the end of the day, they just want what's best for the organization. So if it's not, you know, who's just the better quarterback, how did you assess Justin Fields' ability to handle adversity in his time with the Bears?
I thought Justin did a tremendous job because I don't think he ever got a fair shake. You can go all the way back to the beginning. For some reason, they decided that we're going to spend a first-round pick on a quarterback, but we're going to bring in Andy Dalton. Remember Andy Dalton's press conference? It's my time. You remember that?
Yeah.
So, I mean, right from the beginning, they mismanaged that situation entirely. And I thought, for the most part, Justin did a good job of never lashing out. I thought there were times where his body language wasn't great on the sideline early in his career. But this last year and a half, he seemed to have matured and, you know, started to take more of a leadership role. You know, you can see him, you know, rolling in the right direction. But again, impatience is a part of the quarterback evaluation process in the NFL. So how much patience do these guys get if they don't succeed right off the bat? Trey Lance was given up on in San Francisco. Zach Wilson has been given up on by the Jets. Right, wrong, indifferent. Daniel Jones looks like he's out the door in New York. I mean, you see it happening across the league. So I hope the Bears go off to a great start and everything goes smooth for Caleb. But it's going to be fascinating to watch if it doesn't.
We are talking with Sean King, former NFL quarterback based here in Las Vegas. Kevin Powell alongside Joe Brand with you up until 9 o'clock live from Circa Resort at the Stadium Swim. Sean, Bears, you know, we've obviously been focused on the top overall pick in Caleb. But they have two top 10 picks. They also have the 9th pick right now. Where do you think Ryan Poles is? What do you think Ryan Poles is thinking going into this draft when it comes to that 9th pick? Move up, move down, maybe a receiver, maybe an edge rusher. What do you think the Bears will do with the 9th overall pick?
Well, here's what's interesting. I think a lot of it depends on what happens outside of the Bears pick. Are there a rush on quarterbacks? I mean, there's all of a sudden McCarthy, May, Daniels, Penix, Nix, whomever, however the teams have those guys ranked, and I have Jaden Daniels as the best quarterback in this draft, just to put that on record. How does that make other positions fall down? What if there's a run on quarterbacks and, you know, I know they've done a good job, you know, of upgrading the offensive line in free agency, but the top tackle on their board is sitting there at 9. Or, you know, I know they've done a good job of adding pieces, but I think in the situation, if I was Ryan, I hope the quarterbacks drop a little, and Denver or Minnesota wants to trade up to 9 to get the guy that they like. And I can get a windfall of collateral to move back a little bit, because I have Brian Thomas Jr. as the best wide receiver in this draft. And if you could trade down from 9 and maybe add a first-round pick next year, and only have to go to 12 or 13 and still get another weapon to put around Caleb, I mean, I think you called it a successful draft, whether you agree with what they decided to do at quarterback or not.
Sean, when you look at the way young quarterbacks are developed these days, or lack of development, not always on the player, I mean, Bryce Young, you brought up, I feel for him. He is in a horrible, terrible situation with nothing around him. And I think all of us are hoping he can find success. It's just, but he's been put into a very tough spot. So when you look at overall the way quarterbacks are developed, and so many quarterbacks just don't work out long term in the NFL, how do you view the handling? Sometimes there's so much pressure put on quarterbacks to completely carry a franchise or turn a franchise around. I know a lot of Bears fans are thinking Caleb could finally be the one for the organization, but when it comes to coaching and player development, where do you, like, what do teams do wrong? How would you kind of evaluate all of that?
I think it's a case-by-case basis, but I think the macro opinion I have is that there's just not a lot of people in this world that know how to evaluate quarterback. But every organization, the power vacuum is different. The Panthers, the power vacuum is with the owner. Right? I mean, so when you draft the quarterback number one, this is the perfect way to make sure he succeeds. You fire his head coach and his quarterback coach and his OC midseason in year one. That is exactly how, that's the blueprint. And then you go out and you hire a first-time head coach in the offseason. So, you know, for the Panthers, I think the owner is too meddlesome. You know, for the Bears, sometimes I think they overthink the situation instead of just going with what the film says. I think they've learned a lot, though, in some of their failures. I mean, they look to be doing a much better job of preparing the organization to be ready for a young quarterback to come in and have at least a fair shot at being successful. So it's a team-by-team basis. But the number one thing is, because you have a need, that does not mean that the necessary talent is available to fill that need. So for instance, the Jets. There's no way you can look at Zach Wilson's career at BYU and say he's a top five pick. And some of the good teams make mistakes. The 49ers. How in the hell do you draft Trey Lance, a kid that needs seasoning, that needs experience, that hadn't played a lot of football, into a team that everybody's picking to go to the Super Bowl? Like, where's his learning curve going to happen at? Practice? I mean, he's not going to be able to go out and have three bad games. Like, so, I mean, sometimes even the good organizations get it wrong. But, you know, hopefully the Bears got it right. I'm a guy that wants Caleb to be successful, but I have to be honest. You know, my dad told me the truth doesn't have emotions, and that's just kind of what I see with him. A lot of talent, but I think a lot of unknowns in some of the other areas.
There you have it. Sean King, former NFL quarterback, with his thoughts on the Bears. Caleb Williams, the upcoming NFL draft, which is just over a week away. Sean, we appreciate the time. Follow Sean on Twitter, at RealSeanKing. Always great insight. Sean, thanks for the time. Maybe we'll run into you out here in Las Vegas at some point.
Absolutely. Sounds good. All right, Caleb, Joe, thanks for having me.
All right, Sean. That's Sean King. Quick time out. More to come from Circa Resort and Casino on 720 WGN.
It's the sports show.
This is our objective. Las Vegas, Nevada. Mission, to liberate millions of dollars.
Here's KP and Joe.
Welcome back into our special two-hour sports show here on WGN. Kevin Powell alongside Joe Brand taking you up until 9 o'clock. We are live in Las Vegas at Circa Resort and Casino. A lot of people out there at Stadium Swim, Joe, having...
I thought you were talking to Steve.
I don't know
He's
where
here.
That came from. Steve
yeah,
from
Yeah, that's
our
all right.
Sales
I won't forget that.
You know, they're enjoying themselves. They're hanging out by the pool. Not us. We're professionals, Joe. We are grinding away here in our private cabana as we finish up. We got one more hour to go here, Joe.
Yeah, they just asked us if we wanted any beverages, and
we said no.
Absolutely not. No, we are doing a show. We are working right now.
Right.
Speaking of... Great job. Was that Iridian doing the voiceover that Ernie Skatton put together with the rejoins?
Ernie, our production guy, always does dynamite work. Joe and I actually got to know each other at Illinois State.
I was hoping you'd bring this up.
At the student radio station, Joe. And this is a little bit different working with you compared to our student radio station days in the basement of Fell Hall at ISU, Fear the Bird, our 30-minute Red Zone sports show we would do once a week. We've gone from the basement of Fell Hall to poolside at Circa Resort Casino Stadium Swim, Steve.
You know what I was thinking? Thanks, Steve. I was thinking...
Why do I keep saying Steve?
I don't know. We can figure this out later.
Our sales guy is standing right in front of me. That's why.
Is that why
I
you can't stop looking
Joe.
At him? By the way, Steve, this is the first time I think we've done a remote location on the air since calling a women's basketball game in...
2011?
St. Louis, Missouri. Yeah, 2011, the Women's Missouri Valley Conference Championship.
Arch Madness, very exciting.
Those were fun days.
I'm going to say this is a little bit more fun.
This is a little bit more fun.
Here in Las Vegas, poolside.
Yes, no.
You know where we went to today? The Mob Museum here in
Vegas.
Well,
you and the other Joe went. Did you call that Joe, Steve, as well?
I'm just calling everybody Steve on this trip.
How was the Mob Museum?
Well, I mean, there's so many ties to Chicago. It's actually
That's what I was wondering. When you said that, I'm like, isn't that in Chicago?
It's basically a museum about Chicago mobsters.
Okay. That checks out.
They came out here. They built these empires out here in Vegas.
Just another thing that wouldn't be here without Chicago.
That's right.
We just put our stamp on everything, and we come to the places to say, we're better than you.
Yeah.
We know this more than you do.
Well, you know, they did have a whole wall of all these former mobsters, and it's like, you know, their name, a picture, what they were known for, and then like how it all ended for them. And it doesn't end well for pretty much any of them, Joe.
I can imagine. I mean, what mobster got out of the business and retired and
there were a couple
had a nice vacation home in Florida.
Right, there were a couple that actually did retire. Apparently you can just retire from the mob. And lived out their life somewhere else. They were like, I'm gonna retire from the mob.
I ordered spaghetti and I got egg noodles and ketchup.
Very nice. We have one more hour to go here in Las Vegas. You will be on the call, of course, when the Blackhawks and Golden Knights meet tomorrow night here at Vegas, and we will have it here on WGN. News is next on 720 WGN.
You're gonna understand. This ain't exactly Vegas, and this ain't exactly legal.
I'm not looking for Vegas, and I'm not looking for legal.
It's the Sports Show.
Las Vegas.
Las Vegas.
Las Vegas, Nevada.
Here's KP and Joe.
We are live in Las Vegas, taking you up until 9 o'clock. We are at Circa Resort and Casino, downtown Vegas, Old Vegas, Fremont Street. And we are in a cabana at Stadium Swim, which is awesome. If you haven't seen pictures or videos, Joe and I have posted them to our social media accounts. It is a giant video board with all the sports you can handle, and then a bunch of pools to hang out in, cabanas, things like that. And we are very excited to be joined by Tim Murray from VSiN. Which you guys have a studio. Not a bad place to come to work every day. You guys have a beautiful studio next to the Circa Sportsbook. VSiN, of course, stands for Vegas Stats and Information. I have that right.
That is right, yes. A lot of people say Vegas Sports and Information.
Right.
Stats and Information Network. Yeah.
Stats and Information. I wanted to start with this. How much the whole, because you've been in broadcasting. You can see Tim every afternoon on VSiN, which part of it is carried on some local stations in Chicago as well. The world of sports gambling, sports betting, obviously it has all started with the legalizing it in many states, including Illinois, and it has just exploded. I mean, it's an entire network that you work for dedicated to looking at lines, looking at odds, trying to find angles for games. It's it just continues to grow.
Yeah, I mean, I would say to an extent, I wouldn't say it saved my career, but it really helped it. You know, we were talking, Joe and I were talking a little bit before jumping on the air, where I started in minor league baseball, then I worked in local radio in the Washington, D.C. area, my hometown, and got laid off, you know, right around 2017. And you're kind of grinding your way, and this boom has really opened up a lot of doors for broadcasters. And fortunately for me, I had some knowledge of sports gambling. I had done a couple segments on my shows, but it has no doubt exploded, as you alluded to. And, you know, living here in Las Vegas, being, you know, on the ground, so to speak, when you think about now all of these leagues are embracing it, where you've got, first it was the NHL, NFL just a couple years ago, Tony Romo tried to do a fantasy football convention. That got nixed, and now you've got a franchise here. The Super Bowl was just here.
Right.
NBA will be here before we know it. Major League Baseball, we think, is coming. That one's kind of murky regardless. But, no, it's exploded. And, you know, the NFL draft was here. We had our first ever Sweet 16 Elite Eight last year. The Final Four will be here in a couple years. So, yeah, it has been it's been phenomenal for me. Obviously, there are people who worry about our game's going to get fixed and things like that. And, you know, that's obviously a real concern. But that was a concern before sports gambling got legalized. People still knew how to bet. It was just a little bit more unregulated.
How do you feel about that? Is there any – should there be any concern when it comes to that? Yeah. Obviously, there's a massive story right now involving –
Jontay Porter.
I'm talking baseball here.
Oh, yeah.
With Shohei Ohtani.
Sure.
And,
yeah.
You know, he appears not to have been involved with it, but his interpreter was. Do you have concerns at all when it comes to sports betting and all of that with the pro athletes or even college athletes for sure, right?
I think you'd be naive to say that it's going to be, you know, perfect, squeaky clean, but there are companies out there that police this to make sure if there's any irregularities in the betting market to keep an eye on it. We had a story pop up that actually was pointed out from a guest on our show. Jim Root came on my show and said, hey, there's something kind of odd with this Temple, I think it was Temple UAB. The line had gone up. There was no resistance in the market. And ultimately, Temple didn't cover. So it raised some red flags. There was an investigation. I don't know the specifics of how that investigation's findings have come down. But, yeah, I think there's always worries. But I want to go back to, you know, we had a point-shaving scandal that they did a Netflix documentary on Arizona State. You know, this is way before sports gambling was legal across, you know, 30-plus states as it is right now. So, look. Places like Las Vegas and all sportsbooks across the country, they are doing their best to figure out the irregularities. So if there is irregularity, they want to jump on that because they obviously do not want something like that to come out, if that makes sense. So I think that's the biggest thing moving forward. Is there a worry? I think there'll always be a worry. College athletes, yeah, certainly. I'll be honest, just a quick aside. What drives me crazy is what we heard, you know, coming out from some players from the NCAA tournament. There was an article written, I think, on The Athletic talking about how people were talking to different college players, hey, you messed up my, you know, player prop, this and that. Like, look, if you're not willing to lose the money that you bet, then don't bet, right? Don't be yelling at X player. They don't care. Their goal is to win a particular game. Right. And I think that's the biggest thing is, like, we, and mostly, I think we're pretty well trained. Hey, a bad beat happens, so be it. It's not the end of the world. But recognizing that, you know, whoever, insert player, messed up your parlay, they shouldn't care and they don't care.
Right. And I think that's less about sports betting itself and it being legalized and more so about social media and having access to players and some of the nasty stuff you see posted.
Yeah, Tim, quickly, I just want to go back a little bit further because you obviously have this career now which had to have stemmed from back when sports gambling was a stigma and was illegal, or at least for at some point of your age. I mean, to get to where are you at now, I mean, you had to have known all T's and everything about it. I mean, what was going on in your mind back then that possibly you could make a career out of it? I'm sure you weren't thinking it was a possibility.
No, I mean, it's funny that you asked that because, you know, there's a lot of people that I know that gambled all throughout college and whatnot. I played basketball in college, so I never really jumped into it. I didn't know it all that well. You know, you'd talk about it, you'd be in a pool for March Madness or whatever, but really what sparked it for me was when I started working in Washington, D.C., for the radio station there, one of the hosts did a segment called it the smell test, which essentially was he would go through lines in the NFL and college football and say, oh, this line seems off. And when your normal intuition was to be, well, you know, it's a bad example because UConn just blew out everyone, right? But when everybody's on one side, you just go the other way.
Yeah.
So you would say embrace the stink. So I got intrigued by this. This was like 2011, 2012. We started talking about it. I started to place little bets here and there just on college football because that was the favorite my favorite sport that I cover, that talked about. And that kind of got me into it. And then, to be honest, you know, when I got the opportunity to try out for a sports gambling show in 2018, I knew I had done gambling segments, hadn't done, you know, been fully ingrained in it. And what really helped was people in Las Vegas, odds makers, were really open, you know, opening up, you know, saying, hey, yeah, come learn this. Because the more we got to know and speak with it from a you know, professional standpoint, it was beneficial to the sports books to help educate people to how to properly bet, what you should and shouldn't do. Hey, never tease through a zero and do things like that. So it was early on before I came out to VSiN. I was doing a gambling show in the D.C. area, and it was more of a kind of a learning on the fly process too. So I had knowledge of sports gambling, but I definitely learned a ton before I ultimately came out here in 2020.
We are talking with Tim Murray from VSiN Live Primetime, 6 to 9 Eastern Time. That would be 5 to 8 in Chicago. If you want to tune in, we are at Circa Resort Casino, which is where the VSiN studio is. Do you have time to stick around? I don't want to keep you, Tim, but I would love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, I can hang for a little bit.
Okay, perfect. All right, quick timeout. We will get into I want to hear your thoughts on Caleb Williams and the Bears and all of that stuff. More to come on 720 WGN next.
It's the sports show.
This is Las Vegas.
I thought there'd be, like, casinos and lights and stuff. This is very good.
Here's KP and Joe.
Welcome back into our special sports show here in Las Vegas. Kevin Powell alongside Joe Brand. We are at Circa Resort Casino, poolside at Stadium Swim, and we are joined by Tim Murray, joining us for a second segment. Tim works for VSiN, Vegas Stats and Information, an entire network built around sports betting, sports gambling, all of that good stuff. Tim, we appreciate you sticking around. We had talked a little bit earlier about Caleb Williams and the Bears. You'd number one, I think we're all just pretty much anticipating Caleb Williams' name to be announced in just over a week in Detroit. He does plan on being in attendance. Your perspective, a national perspective, on where the Bears are at right now, what they might do with that ninth pick, and just the general direction of the Bears, because there's some optimism growing among Bears Nation.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the division right now. It's a very intriguing division when you think about the year that the Green Bay Packers had, the strong finish to go down to Dallas to get that victory, to lose in a close fashion against San Francisco. You've got Detroit, who made it all the way to the AFC or NFC Championship game. Minnesota seems like in full-on rebuild mode here. Curious to see what they'll do. They've already made that one move. But the Bears are very intriguing, right? You bring in the new offensive coordinator. And, you know, for me, so I'm a Notre Dame fan. So Caleb Williams 2 years ago was a nightmare because he basically sewed up the Heisman Trophy at the Coliseum just dancing around and beating Notre Dame. And then this year he probably had the worst game of his collegiate career at Notre Dame. Notre Dame turned him over a bunch, and they really got after him. Look, I thought it was a lot of over analyzing when we looked at Caleb Williams initially. Well, you know, maybe he shouldn't be the number one pick. No. This guy is a unique talent. I'm fascinated to see how he's going to do. I didn't really care about some of the antics, you know, that people were worried about, whether it be the fingernail polish or the fact that he was, you know, crying after the loss to UCLA. To me, that doesn't bother me. We'll see if it does long term. I'm sure Chicago fans might think differently, but I think what he is he's a stud football player. And what we were talking about him 2 years ago was that this guy's the next Patrick Mahomes. He ran into some turbulence last year, you know, some ups and downs, loses some of his better players. His offensive line was absolutely terrible in front of him. But, no, I think this team is fascinating. And, you know, at the ninth pick, which is the pick that they have owned, that is their normal pick, now you have a spot to be advantageous. Do you go wheeling and dealing? Do you trade with Minnesota and move back a little bit if they want to go get J.J. McCarthy or someone else? So I think it's going to be really intriguing. I think Ryan Poles, I know, you know, we've talked about it a little bit, and you're going to come on tomorrow. I'm curious to get your insight on it. But, you know, I think Ryan Poles feeling a little bit of pressure. But more often than not, though, you're sitting in a really advantageous spot where you've got these two picks. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, don't have a second-round pick because of the Montez Sweat trade. So do they try to trade back, get a little more draft capital in what is expected to be a pretty loaded draft class from a pass-catching perspective, where you've got the Brock Bowers of the world, you've got a couple other pass catchers. So I do think there's going to be some potential wheeling and dealing in that top 10, and we'll see if the Bears at 9 sit in an advantageous spot to potentially move back.
Yeah, and you know, He will be entering, I think, a very good situation. I mean, you look at Bryce Young in Carolina. That's a disaster of a situation for a rookie quarterback. He has all that pressure put on him for a team that doesn't really have much around him. Caleb Williams is going to be put into a very good spot with Keenan Allen, DJ Moore. They added Swift in the backfield. So there's excitement there. The debate, and look, I'm excited for the draft because I love the draft, but I'm also just ready to move on from this Caleb conversation a little bit. Like, we all know what's going to happen there. Justin Fields, a lot of Bears fans, big Justin Fields fans. A lot of fans still would have preferred them to keep Justin Fields and maybe even move the top pick. That's how he won over the fan base. I mean, I had question marks. Was he consistent enough? No. I'm assuming someone would be able to bet on who would have the most starts for the Steelers this upcoming year, whether it's Russ or I don't know if you know.
I haven't seen that market out there, but that's an interesting one to think about. And now you got to think about this too from a legal gambling standpoint. These are things that need to be proven in a box score, and that's why the draft is an interesting one where they got approval for it. But different states have different regulations. Like you can't bet on free agency in Vegas. Offshore shops, you know, you might be able to find that. But that's an interesting one because you can prove that in the box score. So that actually might be. It would be a one where Russell Wilson would be a pretty sizable favorite against Justin Fields. But yeah, I was. You know, and I'm sure you guys have talked about it until you got blue in the face, but I was a little surprised at the ultimate return that the Bears were able to get, the lack thereof. I thought, you know, maybe a second or a third, definitely not a fourth next year, which is a conditional, right?
It's a sixth.
It's a sixth.
It's sixth with if he makes, I think it's if he makes 51%. It has to do with the amount of playing time, and then it's a conditional sixth that could turn into a four.
Well, and that's what's interesting, too, and to get a broader perspective, too, is about how many quarterbacks we're going to see in this first round. Yeah. I still believe it'll be four. I'm in the minority there. It's the underdog here in town. But I think the Justin Fields situation is kind of a really good case study on that fifth-year option. So many people talk about, oh, you know, they got to get the fifth-year option.
Right.
Well, his trade value plummeted because of the fifth-year option, right? Sam Howell gets traded from Washington for more because he was cheaper, and there's no fifth-year option. All right, we can just let him go if he doesn't pan out to what we want.
And I think, too, with Justin, the market wasn't great. One, even Kirk, obviously, and then Russ going to Pittsburgh, that didn't help. And then with all of the quarterbacks that could be drafted in the first round, that factored in. And also, the amount of tape on Justin Fields might not have helped either, because a lot of times a guy will go for, you know, maybe didn't get playing time with a team, or they were a top pick and just never really worked out, only started a handful of games, and teams are like, oh, well, maybe we can turn him into something. I think we kind of know what Justin is. I was always a big fan. I just didn't see the consistency from him. I do kind of like, you know, some people say, hey, you know, the Justin haters were like, ah, see, he's only worth a six-round pick. And I'm like, that's not really the case. Like, it's not Justin Fields worth a six-round pick. It's what the market dictated for Justin
Fields. And I also think, too, because they have to make that decision almost immediately what you're going to do with that fifth-year option. Are you going to pay him?
Right.
That's why I think teams got a little bit scared off. That's why you saw someone like Sam Howell go for more, because he's got 2 years left, and then Seattle can just let him walk if they don't need to, you know?
When you look at the Chicago landscape, kind of putting you on the spot here, but which team would you be, from a national perspective, be most optimistic about, let's say, over the next year or two, whether it's the Cubs, Blackhawks probably another couple years off from being a real contender, but which of the teams do you like most in having success in the near future?
Clearly the White Sox, right? Sorry.
Yikes!
That was easy.
Tim,
sorry.
It is somehow the White Sox keep topping themselves when it's an organization that has always struggled for the most part.
It's like 2 years ago they were going to win the division.
And here we are in a rebuild, and they won't admit it's a rebuild. So they are a complete disaster.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the Cubs?
Look, Craig Counsell getting signed or bringing in, clearly there's a lot of excitement about that. The NL Central is completely wide open. The Brewers are playing much better than anticipated. So, yeah, I think the Cubs are intriguing. They certainly have the money to go out and spend. I can't sit here and say I'm a huge hockey connoisseur, but the fact that, you know, a superstar is in your grasps right now is pretty intriguing. Hey, Angel Reese, you're gonna, you know, just got drafted today, Chicago Sky.
There we go.
I think the Cubs or the Bears are the two ones that would be most intriguing.
That is Tim Murray. Catch him every afternoon on VSiN. Appreciate the time, Tim. News is next on 720 WGN.
Remember, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
It's the sports show.
What you need is a weekend in Las Vegas.
Here's KP and Joe.
Welcome back into our special sports show live from Las Vegas, the Circa Resort and Casino, downtown Vegas, Fremont Street. We are in a cabana at Stadium Swim, which is a giant video board with all kinds of sports and betting lines, and we are just hanging out, having a good time, a bunch of pools. This place is fantastic. We are having a lot of fun, and our guest now,
somebody.
Joe.
We're missing somebody.
We invited him over. I mean, we saved him a spot in our cabana, but he's joining us now on the phone. It is the great Troy Murray. The Blackhawks, of course, in town. We'll have tomorrow night's game on WGN, the Hawks and the Golden Knights. Joe will have the pregame. Troy, thanks for jumping on. I know we've been talking about this for a few days, but we are thrilled about the Blackhawks and WGN Radio extension, and we wish you were here celebrating with us at Circus. Troy,
well, first of all, thank you. I'm on my way down, but it's a longer walk than I thought from this trip.
Okay,
so I had to take a break. I'm sitting in front of the Venetian Hotel right now. People are looking at me on the phone while I'm talking here, but I'm on my way down to join you guys. It may take me a while though.
Awesome. Hi, pal. How's it going?
it's good. How's Vegas treating you?
It's great. I'm soaking it all in. Is the team still riding the Frank Nazar train? How's everyone feeling after the big goal from the kid yesterday?
Well, they were all excited today. Unfortunately, they didn't, win the game. But I think there was a lot of excitement, and it's just so fun. You know, we're sitting at the airport in Chicago, waiting for us to go onto the plane. And you just see these kids, they're laughing and smiling, they're enjoying life. Nobody likes to lose, and I bet part of it's frustrating. But it's so nice to be around these young guys, and Nazar seemed like he was fitting right in there. Everybody's excited. And another couple more games here for him with the Blackhawks this year to finish off the season.
Yeah, and what's it like that he's going to play his first two road games in Vegas and in L.A. against those type of lethal teams?
Well, I think it's going to be good for him to get a taste of, you know, what elite teams are like. And Vegas coming off the Stanley Cup last year, obviously a contender again this year. L.A. Kings, they're going to be a tough out. So these are really good measuring sticks for him to get an understanding of what it is like to play the elite teams of the NHL. and it's not easy. At this time of year, these teams are ramping up. They're trying to play playoff-style hockey. So, again, another good test for these young kids going into these next two games.
We kind of talked about this yesterday, but, you know, with Frank Nazar's arrival and all the other young guys that have been coming up, how much does this benefit Connor Bedard moving forward? Because there's going to be a whole bunch of focus still on him, but it's no longer the only focus, right? It's no longer he's the only guy everyone's got their eyes on. Now it's a couple of guys, and it's a couple of these pieces that are hopefully part of the promising future.
Yeah, he's always going to be the guy in this movement moving forward. No question about that. But, you know, with some excitement of Del Masto coming up, with Slager coming out of Notre Dame, I think the Formula One cars are still running down. and then Nazar just joining the team. You know, there is excitement around other players other than Connor Bedard. It wasn't that way all season long. The Blackhawks had taken everybody on this trip just so they could be together at the end of this season for the last two games. So it's really important for these young kids to kind of absorb the moment and understand that, you know, next year is a big year for all of them. You know, Connor Bedard is going to be there. He's the guy. But next year there's going to be a lot of excitement around, you know, is Frank Nazar ready? Which of these young defensemen are ready to step up? And there's a lot of them down there, you know, including Isaac Phillips, Del Mastro, Nolan Allen. A lot of excitement around this young group of guys that will take some pressure off Bedard.
And Troy, obviously we know what they are as a team and the standings and all of that, but it's so much more this year, looking long term and the team having a very clear vision and Connor being on the ice and returning early from the jaw injury. I'm not trying to oversell it here, Troy, but it does feel like an ascending team, you know, like they are headed in the right direction. It's an exciting time. You think about all of the prospects and the draft, which is going to be here in Las Vegas. They got a whole bunch of more picks coming up this summer, too. I'm feeling the Blackhawks' excitement, Troy.
Yeah, we were talking about it after the game, Kevin, and Joe brought up a great stat there that the Blackhawks have seven players that played in the game yesterday that were 22 years of age or younger, and it was only one 22-year-old. Everybody else was 21 or younger, so that's a really good sign moving forward for, you know, this young group of guys, and there is excitement. You know, we didn't even dwell on the loss yesterday because it doesn't really matter in the standings. What kind of was the important theme to it was the excitement of all these young kids getting an opportunity. This is the group of guys that are going to be with this team for a lot of years, whether it's next year, the year after that. But just so much excitement to see, you know, almost half a team, as far as your skaters up front, being those guys that will be a part of the core group with Connor Bedard.
Troy, since we're here in beautiful Las Vegas with the beautiful view of the sun setting and the weather here, I mean, this wasn't a hockey town just 10 years ago. You come from playing hockey in the 80s and the 90s, and I bet you guys would have loved to come to Vegas once or twice a year. What was going on in your mind when the NHL said they were going to add Vegas to the league?
Well, I think it was really exciting for everybody because, you know, it's a destination that almost everybody once in their lifetime ends up in Vegas at some point in time. And now all of a sudden say, hey, they got pro hockey, they've got pro football here, now baseball is coming as well. It really seems like it has blossomed here. And, you know, it's funny that you kind of brought up that we were never in Vegas before. The LA Kings were the only team in the Sun Belt when I was playing here for a lot of years. Anaheim, San Jose, Dallas, Arizona, you know, the Carolina teams, or Florida teams, I should say. You know, all these teams came in after I was in the NHL. So when you came out to L.A., it was a major trip out here, a lot of times we would stop for a day or two in Vegas just to, you know, get away for a couple of days before going on to L.A. to play the Kings. So, you know, as a player, we were able to kind of come here and enjoy it. And then when I heard it was coming back as a team, we're all just like, wow, this is crazy. Vegas is going to have an NHL team. Let's go for it.
Putting a bow on this regular season, I know there's two games left, but aside from Connor Bedard, what do you think has been the biggest stride that the organization has taken forward this year?
Well, I think that the biggest stride, and with all the injuries that the Blackhawks had, I mean, you didn't count on Taylor Hall to be out for a lot of the season. After the MCU, you know, you had to bring in all kinds of different pieces to just fill in some holes. And I think when you look at the opportunity for guys like Kaiser, the progress for Blassett coming in this year and playing as well as he did, I just think there's so much excitement moving forward. You've got Mrazek, who was the MVP this year, in my mind, for the team. You've got Foligno, who's the leader. Dickinson right there as well. You've got a great core of young guys that are chomping at the bit to get to the NHL. And I think that that's where you kind of lose your focus after this season, during, you know, these last few games. It's all about the future. You know, this year there's not much you can do about it. It didn't go the way that they wanted it to, but at the same time you're sitting here looking at the future. So don't dwell on what happened this year. There were so many things that in a lot of ways went wrong for the Blackhawks. But in a lot of ways, right, because it did give people some opportunities to play here. And I think when Kyle Davidson looks at his roster at the end of the season, I think there's some pretty easy decisions that are made on the positive side, and I think there's some pretty easy decisions to be made on the negative side. It's going to be a completely different roster here next year, and I can't wait to see what it's going to be all about.
That is the great Troy Murray. You'll hear him on the call tomorrow night. Blackhawks, Golden Knights here in Las Vegas. We'll have it on WGN. Joe will have the pregame, the postgame, intermission, all of that good stuff. Troy, enjoy your night in Las Vegas. Maybe we'll run into you at some point.
Well, I've got a curfew.
Yeah, Troy's like, let's hope not. He doesn't want to see us out here.
Take the F1 race car, and you'll get home in time.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on, guys. Love you.
Yeah, you're the best, Troy. Appreciate it. That is Troy Murray on the he will be on the call tomorrow night. Troy is, I realize he's a broadcast partner, right? Like, we know him through our work here at WGN, one of the nicest people I've ever been around, especially in the world of broadcasting. It's just so much fun talking hockey with Troy, and I think hockey is one of those sports that it can be kind of tricky to talk about at length at times, right? And he does such a great job of explaining the game to the listeners, and even just to someone like me when I have a chance to kind of pick his brain on Hawks or hockey or whatever it might be.
Well,
and you had to talk to him every game, so you know what I'm talking about.
Not to make this about me once again.
No, make
but
it about
yes.
you. That's how you started the show, Joe.
That's the kind of player he was, though, too. I mean, yeah. And that's why fans gravitated to him so quickly, whether they were diehard Hawks fans or not, just because he was the hardworking player that he is, and he's still that type of worker, he's still that type of employee and friend and broadcaster. And yes, he's been dealing with a tough battle, as we all know, a rough battle with cancer, and he has gotten to be back in the booth for pretty much every game this year. Actually, I think every game this year, either TV or radio.
Yeah.
And again, personally, I have been graciously had the opportunity to pick his brain game in and game out, and it is a privilege. Like, you learn the game so much better and so much easier from him and through him, and I think the listeners definitely benefit from that, and they're going to be able to benefit from that for another 3 years at least, so it's great stuff.
Troy Murray is the man. We appreciate him jumping on live from Las Vegas as we continue our broadcast at Stadium Swim at Circa Resort Casino. And big Chicago Sky news. A big-time star is joining the Chicago Sky. We're going to get into that next, and we'll wrap this show up from Las Vegas on 720 WGN.
Holy Las Vegas, where are we?
This is Las Vegas.
Welcome to Vegas.
Las Vegas.
It's the sports show. Here's KP and Joe.
Welcome back into our special two-hour sports show live from Las Vegas. I'm Kevin Powell alongside Joe Brand with you for a few more minutes. Take you up to the 9 o'clock news.
How come you get the nickname?
KP?
Yeah.
Joe's are. I mean, that's short enough.
less syllable than Kevin.
You never had a nickname?
Some people call me JB, but...
Brandflakes?
No, that was my screen name.
Was it?
Yeah,
your
it was.
AIM screen name?
My screen name, and then my Twitter handle for a little bit, and then I went super professional with @Joe_Brand1. I'm still waiting for Joe Brand to be available, but there's someone out there named Joe Gomez who hasn't tweeted in like 12 years that still hangs on to it.
Right. This has been a lot of fun. Circa,
it really
has been amazing. The folks here who have been spoiling us as we've done this 2 hour show from a cabana poolside. I mean, it's tough to beat, Joe.
Do you ever think this was possible?
No, I didn't.
I didn't either.
And we made it happen. It's very exciting news involving the Chicago Sky, the WNBA draft tonight. Two picks in the first round. Angel Reese from LSU joining the Chicago Sky. Angel Reese, of course, a star at LSU. Caitlin Clark obviously went number one to Indiana. But an exciting night for the Chicago Sky. Camila Cardoso, who, if you watch the women's tournament, you saw how much of an impact she makes on the court with South Carolina on their way to the national championship. So Angel Reese is coming to Chicago. She was asked about what she's excited about when it comes to joining the Sky. And she talked, it's like, I love Chicago. I can't wait for Chicago summer. But as women's basketball is really having a moment, obviously with the tournament of Caitlin Clark, and it was kind of that rivalry between Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark, and now they're on to the WNBA. Let's hope it continues to translate that success, that popularity they've had over the past couple of years. We now have one of those stars in Chicago in Angel Reese.
And you bring up the rivalry. I mean, this probably worked out the best it could for the Chicago Sky, right? If they couldn't get Caitlin Clark, then get the enemy. And all right, I'm all down for a rivalry. I will say, Kev, because I have heard this sports conversation brought up, and I feel like Caitlin Clark is proving to the sports world that it's more important to have one singular generational entity than full-on competition throughout an entire league to draw more interest into it. Would you agree? Like, if
you're saying the individual star can help elevate an entire league.
Yes.
Sure. I mean,
like let's say instead of Caitlin Clark, NCAA basketball women's all set records for most points scored ever. You know, do you think that would draw as much interest as Caitlin Clark did?
Well,
I think so.
I think one of the appeals that, you know, you watch Caitlin Clark throughout her career, right? Angel Reese throughout her career. You know, part of it was how long they stay in college.
That's true.
You know, a lot of the top stars
and their personalities.
No, I'm going to get there too. But I'm saying, like, on the men's side, guys that are going to be stars in the NBA that are going early on in the draft are not staying for 4 years.
Right,
they're
right.
Not staying for 5 years. And I'm not saying this is the only reason, but it definitely helped to kind of watch that journey. And currently, the women's college basketball has a stronger brand than the WNBA. It's not a knock against the WNBA.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
But, I mean, look at the popularity. I mean, they outdrew the men's national championship.
Right.
And
I will say, though, as a kid, I grew up knowing who Lisa Leslie was.
For
And Diana Taurasi.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I guess maybe that singular talent has been there. That stardom's been there.
For sure. And I think it's just a different generation, right, that is more appreciative of women's sports in general. I think maybe some people who have told themselves, I'm not going to watch, I don't like women's sports, maybe, like, gave it a shot for once.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, who wasn't glued to some of those games?
Right.
Right? Of Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. Like, that was must-watch TV.
And I think it's also, it's like the Tiger effect, because she was so much better than everyone else. You had to watch. You had to see what she could do. You had to see what type of record she could break next or what she could do next.
For sure. Exciting time for women's sport. And Angel Reese is joining.
Can we thank a lot of people? I feel like we got to thank a lot of people.
Yes, Aaron Oster from Circa joined us. Tim Murray from VEASAN joined us. Thanks to Jack Heinrich, Brett Jackson back at the station in Chicago.
Sales guys for making this happen, too.
Sales guys. You know, they've been just hanging out by the pool, Joe. I mean, we've been grinding it out here in our cabana.
Steve's gotten more airtime than all of us, though, today.
I kept calling Joe Steve earlier.
Yeah, we're not going to forget that.
Maybe I'm thinking about Steve Bertrand. I miss him, you know?
Oh, God, let it go.
I miss Steve Bertrand.
It's been 3 days.
The folks here at Circa have been outstanding. This was a lot of fun. We appreciate everyone that tuned in.
Michael Bush home run. 5 straight games.
I've been saying it leading up to the season that he is going to be great for the Chicago Cubs this year. Thanks again to Circa. I'm Kevin Powell alongside Joe Brand. Thanks to our sales team. Kevin McDonough's out here. Joe Marino, Steve Godsell. The whole crew's out here. Thank you for listening. This has been our special 2 hour show from Stadium Swim at Circa Sports and Resort and Casino here in Las Vegas.